Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the phone calls here. The conversation about Jalen Hurts. And do you expect the Jalen we saw Sunday the rest of the season? And we'll get to the Embiid stuff because the Sixers, they just, I mean, it's amazing to watch someone walk down the street and fall over their own feet every single day. But that's life watching the Sixers. We'll get to that, the latest nonsense and the fine. But first, Kyle, we got to talk to our next guest, Seth Joyner.
And he's sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook pre- and post-game with Seth Joyner at Parks Casino for every Birds game all season. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how you doing today?
Seth. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man. It's all good. It's copacetic on my side.
Well, it's all good with the Eagles right now, Seth. 5-2, three straight victories. The win, a really impressive one, obviously, Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Seth, let's talk about Jalen Hurts. He played his best game of the season. What did you notice that was different Sunday? What did you feel that was different the way he played this game compared to the other ones this season?
It looks to me like he's finally starting to grasp this offense and starting to own it. And I think for a quarterback, that's important. I also feel like, you know, the play call looked markedly different than it had in the previous weeks. But, you know, Hugh, you know, confidence is the number one element that any professional athlete has to have. And when you don't have it, when you're not confident in what you're doing, you're not confident, you don't really believe in the things that you're doing, it's hard to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell. That's what we were talking about this morning, Seth, the fact that Jalen just looks comfortable. How he's answering questions at the end of press conferences and everything like that, he just looks comfortable. But on the flip side of that, Seth, what are you seeing from this defense? You know, they gave up the first touchdown, but after that, they played pretty good.
I think that, you know, Vic Fangio is starting to get to a point where he's, you know, he's learning these players, and he's got some really young players that – he probably didn't think he could trust, but he knows that he can trust. And, you know, the way that a coordinator or, you know, the way the coordinator is going to call a game has a lot to do with his players and how much he trusts them. Listen, he knows after 6 weeks, the 7 weeks, that he can trust Cooper DeJean and he can trust Quinyon Mitchell. So he's able to call some things and dial up some things that maybe he kind of scratched his head early in the season, like, I don't know if I can trust these guys. I don't know if they're ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the linebackers, particularly N'Kobe Dean, has taken a whole lot of heat the last couple of weeks. But it seems like, you know, he's starting to, the light's starting to come on for him. And he's putting these players, and now that he knows them, he can put them in situations that's predictable. He can put them in situations, you know, to match their skill set and match what they do. And, man, I'm telling you, you know, from a statistical standpoint, you know, the turnaround after the bye from where this defense is compared to where it was is like night and day.
It really is. And Seth, one thing that stands out just without even looking at a single statistic is their tackling. I mean, before the bye, it was awful, especially that game in Tampa. Seth, I'm really impressed with how well they've tackled lately. And a lot of it is watching Cooper DeJean in the open field. That play, Seth, he made on that fourth down against Jamar Chase, that was a remarkable play and Jamar Chase he's tough to take down, Seth. He's a big wide receiver. What a play that was.
Well, listen, you know, the first thing they need to do is get that damn donut out of the NovaCare over there and start tackling some real people. Then the second thing is, you know, tackling is an attitude, man. You know, the guy's got the ball. It's your job to get him down. It comes down to a determination of wills. You know, he either wants to stay up worse than you want him down, or you want his ass down worse than he wants to stay up. That's just a fact. These young guys are hungry, man, and they play like they're hungry, and they play with aggression. You know, you got some older guys on the team from time to time that make business decisions on how they tackle. You know, they're technically and fundamentally broken in their approach to how they tackle. But these young guys, they don't know no better. You think Cooper Jean give a damn about Jamar Chase and who Jamar Chase is? He just knows
not on
Jamar
that play.
Chase got the ball. It's fourth down, and he got to go and make the tackle. And he didn't care, you know. So you have to have players with that kind of attitude and that kind of mentality. You know, not guys talking about Fortnite on the field and talking about, you know, you in year 12. I'm in year 12. I don't got no admiration for you. I'm trying to break your damn neck.
So, Seth, with that being said, Do you think, like, we've been talking about this pass rush a lot, and I know they only got one sack last week, but it feels like they're starting to get better. Do you think we have a good enough pass rush that we could do some things in the playoffs?
You know, I think I heard somebody talking about going out and getting a bona fide pass rush.
Bona fide,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, so you know, I agree with that because we don't have a pass rusher that anybody fears.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you came into a game the last 2 years, you knew that Hassan Reddick was going to be a headache. You know, you get him in a pass rush situation, you know that he's going to be a headache. I don't know that we have that guy right now. Now, the pass rush is better because the coverage is better and we're not playing 10 yards off of people. We're challenging wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. We're forcing, you know, quarterbacks from time to time, you know, to speed up their clock with pressures. We're challenging wide receivers down the field and making quarterbacks make, you know, more difficult throws. And when that happens, the end result is going to be the pass rush. So it's beneficial for the pass rush that the coverage is better. But it's also beneficial, you know, for the coverage that the pass rush is going to be better by way of these two things being, you know, symbiotically, you know, call the same way. You can't ask the cornerback to play 10 yards off the ball and think you're going to get home. That's just, it doesn't work that way. And at the same time, if you ain't got nobody putting pressure on, I don't care how well you cover on the back end, you just, sooner or later, they're going to create some space. So these two things work hand in hand. And just as long as, you know, it keeps working hand in hand and the coverage is good and the pass rush continues to get better, then absolutely. You know, Bryce Huff is a pass rush specialist. He don't need to be playing on first and second down because he got to put his hand down on the ground, the four-point stance, you know, like Hugh used to do. But Hugh could play from the ground, you know, and play the run as well. Bryce Huff can't do that. He ain't big enough. But he's so much more explosive out of a four-point stance than he is a two-point stance.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to use him. You got to use your players the way that they are and then try to work on them and develop them in the offseason. But, you know, to answer your question, you know, heck yeah, if they can remain symbiotically attached, then there's no reason why, you know, they can't get to the next level and be productive there as well.
Seth Joyner joining us here in his weekly spot. Seth, I want to ask you about a couple of the big things that happened in the NFL this week, and just your reaction to them. The first one, I'm sure you saw it, we've all seen the highlight a million times. What did you make of how that Bears-Commanders game ended? And just from a defensive player's perspective, how they defended the last drive. It felt like they gave them a free 10 yards to set up the Hail Mary, and then, I mean, everything on the Hail Mary, I mean, they tipped it up, and the one guy wasn't even paying attention. He's taunting the crowd. What was your reaction to the way the Bears lost that game and gave Washington a win? Which, you know, obviously impacts the Eagles here.
Well, listen, a lot of people are going to hear me say this and they'll be like, here he goes, the Blitzomaniac. There ain't no way in hell I'm going to let the quarterback sit back there in the pocket and only rush three with a spy. You got T.J. Edwards spying Jaden Daniels like he's going to be able to run him down. Come on, man. You know, first of all, and you can't give up the yardage because, you know, the same way that the Bears are thinking, hey, we got to get an extra 15 yards so we can get this ball to the end zone. Because from where we are right now, we can't get the ball to the end zone. Okay, so you got to take away that opportunity because, you know, if you're up, then the quarterback's just going to snap the ball and throw it out of bounds. And then you put them in that helter-skelter thing where they, you know, catch it short and throwing it all over the place and hoping to get to the end zone that way. But then, you know, you give it up, and then you're just fundamentally broken in how you, you know, how you defend that play. Because there's always got to be a back defender that's deeper than the deepest that's able to come up and knock that ball down. But I'm going to tell you, man, I was watching the game, and I don't know if I tweeted it or not, but I was like, man, they need to fire Matt Eberflus as soon as they get in the locker room. Because, first of all, they lost that game twice. They had a chance to go up. You get down on the one, you drive all the way down, and now you want to hand the ball off to an offensive lineman and do some, you know, refrigerated Perry nonsense. Come on, man. Get the ball to your running back. You got that big guy in there. Let him lead and let the running back score the touchdown. You take the lead. Now you force Washington's hand. Then you turn around and you allow him to, you know, to throw the Hail Mary. I mean, that's just coaching malfeasance, man. At some point in time, you got to look at that situation and say that guy doesn't have a clue. And then he got in the post game press conference and made the statement that that 15 yards didn't matter.
Yeah, he was wrong for that. He was dead wrong for that.
Unbelievable, man.
It really was. I mean, it was an incredible loss, and it impacts the Eagles in the division. Last one for you, Seth. I'm curious your reaction to the Colts benching Anthony Richardson. He started 10 games in the NFL. His numbers are obviously really poor. He's not completing even 50% of his passes. As a player, do you think it was the right move because they owe it to the other guys to try to make the playoffs? Flacco's obviously right now a more efficient quarterback. Or do you feel like, hey, they drafted this kid fourth overall, 10 games into him playing, they're pulling the plug?
No, it's the right move because you've got to send a message to your team that that kind of nonsense is not you're not going to tolerate it. You know, your quarterback's out of shape. You as an organization know he's out of shape. It's up to you to get him in shape. Okay, the fact that he thought that he could check himself out of the game when the offensive linemen are in there every single play just completely blows my mind. And here's the real problem, in my opinion. They draft these guys early, and they throw them in the fire, and most of these guys aren't ready for what they're about to experience. You know, back in the day, you would draft a quarterback, and he would sit behind a veteran, and he would learn for, you know, a year or two, maybe 2-3 years, and he would grow. I mean, you look at the quarterbacks who failed, you know, over the last 6-7 seasons, and look at the ones who've succeeded. You know, there's very few of them. And C.J. Stroud is like he's the anomaly. He's the exception to the rule. But you look at Jordan Love. Jordan Love had to sit many years behind Aaron Rodgers, and I think that benefited him. You know, and I get it. You're drafting these quarterbacks. They're making a lot of money. You want to get them on the field as soon as you can. The other thing is the success that you have, you know, with a quarterback on his first contract where you don't have to pay him $40, $50, $60 million. So it allows you to build out the rest of your roster. And a lot of times you can make a Super Bowl run if you got a guy that's able to get that done. But that time of development mentally, physically, you know, from a game standpoint, you know, you can't undermine that in any way possible. You know, there's too many young quarterbacks that come into the game, they get thrown in the fire, it gets destroyed, and they never recover. Some of them never recover, or they take many years. Like, I was talking yesterday about Jalen Hurts, you know, all the heat that he's taken. And I think I was doing an interview with somebody. I said, listen, I said, the reason why I believe in Jalen Hurts is if Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith and Sam Darnold can figure it out and resurrect their career, you mean to tell me that you want to pull the plug on Jalen Hurts? Y'all out your damn mind, man. Because he's even wired different than those guys. He's going to figure it out, and he's going to ascend back to where he was because he was once there before. These guys were already almost out of the league. And a lot of these guys, it's the same situation. They came in, got thrown in the fire, completely fell apart. You know, at some level, in some way, we're going to have to figure out how to start developing these young quarterbacks, you know, so that they can grow up a little bit before we ask them to step in and play with grown-ass men.
Very fair. Good stuff, Seth. We appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll chat next week, hopefully after a good win over the Jaguars. Thank you, Seth.
Have a good one.
You got it, man.
There
he
goes. Seth Joyner in his weekly spot. Yeah, that Richardson thing, I think they benched him, Hugh, as much for him saying he was checking out because he was tired as because he struggled.
It was a bad look.
Terrible.
And he did, know what he did? He gave them a reason to sit him down.
Yeah.
He gave them an out, and they took it.
I also think the coach probably feels he owes it to the other 52 guys in the locker room to
definitely
say, we're not, like, this is season matters. Like, we're trying to win football games,
man,
here.
Man, for offensive linemen to be out there blocking as much as they are while he's out there scrambling, for him to tap the top of his helmet and walk off the field and then have the audacity to say in a meeting. I mean, you know, hey, that's a perfect example, children, of the sometimes it's better not to tell the truth. Like, you should have said something else. I had to pee. Or something else. Something. You was going to take heat, but I'm tired. That dog don't hunt.
Do you remember the movie? That must have came out like 30 years ago. Remember Liar, Liar? You ever see that movie, Hugh? You ever see Liar, Liar, the Jim Carrey movie? Yeah, it's when you tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth at every moment of the day. It actually is a detriment, right? Sometimes you got to talk around it. You can't just say, "Oh yeah, I was tired." That doesn't work. 215-592-9494. Good stuff from Seth Joyner. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Do you expect to see Sunday's Jalen Hurts the rest of the season? Yes, at 70% early in this show.
Yeah, the bar is high.
Are they going to start engraving that MVP trophy then?
Yeah, the bar is high, man.
Man, the bar has been raised here. No, I don't expect it the rest of the season. I think he'll have some ups, but also have some downs. I expect him to play better than he did in September the rest of the season, but I'm not putting that bar for the rest of the season. Let's go back to the phone lines here. We got Marple Mack in Malvern. Marple Mack!
Marple!
Hey, yeah, like I told the screener, I want to get right back to my last call. I thought that I was wearing out my welcome, and I told your screener, I let you play me. I was actually about to put you on the phone with John Cartwright, and then I got off track.
Oh no! Are you with John Cartwright now?
No.
Last time. I got you. Okay.
Yeah, I was right about to put him on. Yeah. so you could hear it for yourself, but. That's why I stopped calling for a while, because I felt you were, you know, and there was four letters that I wrote that they never responded to. So I thought, okay, you know, take your lumps. But it's amazing how, and I just checked out the book again from the library, Birds of Prey, how you look at all who read it, who recommended it. And every time I call in, every host plays stupid. Don't want to give the true reason why they succeeded. Again, if Vermeil's Eagles had beaten the Plunkett Raiders, if Reed's Eagles had beaten the Patriots, had Sirianni's Eagles beaten the Chiefs, and then Peterson's Eagles lost, we'd have room for skepticism. But that's not the way it happened.
Well, that's not the way it happened. It happened the exact opposite. I mean, I can't fight facts here. So, Marble Mack, so are you still writing the Cartwright letters, or have we stopped those?
No, I stopped with the Eagles. I stopped because they shot me down, so I took it somewhere else.
Oh, who are you sending them to?
I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, that's fine.
I don't like the way you handled him last time.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it don't speak to me.
Look, yeah.
Can I ask you two a question? Have either of you two read the book Birds of Prey?
I have not. Not
Reed,
yet.
Reed? I ain't read since I've been in college.
It's a very good read. It really is.
I like.
Doesn't help that I'm blind.
I mean, the very fact that Foles was going to get out of the quarter, get out of the NFL, and go. He was on a retreat with his church, floating down some river in California, doing a float fly fishing trip, and he couldn't even get a cell phone call there. As soon as he comes out, the first call he gets is from Andy Reid. I think he got some football left in you, and the rest as they say, is history.
It was, and away he went to winning there. Marple Mack, we appreciate it. Good hearing from Marple Mack again. I'm not surprised that they didn't respond to the letters, and they were busy at the end of the season.
Yeah,
but
that dog wasn't going.
Yeah. I missed the Cartwright letters phone calls, because that was a big part of last season. Yeah,
I did not miss him just referring to me as the screener, though.
Yeah, you do have a name.
I think I'm a little bit more than that.
Yeah, you have a name.
Yeah, he kind of did with this.
Yeah, he's done with you, and there's a screener over there. Hugh obviously is on his bad side.
Does Hugh even exist?
No.
Is the question.
And
I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm okay with that. Me and Kyle had a conversation.
You good with that?
We had our own show.
As often do.
While you were talking to Marple Mack, me and Kyle had our own show.
So you haven't read the book?
We had a book. Is it a comic book? The last thing that I read was a graphic novel. Now, I read a graphic novel. As a matter of fact,
maybe we can turn Birds of Prey into a graphic novel.
I need some pictures, man. Like, Angelo gave me a book, and I didn't even look. And I didn't even read that.
You mean his book, the one
he
wrote?
Gave me a book? Yeah, I didn't read it. But
it's just
I got
a book.
It
was a good book.
No, I heard.
Yeah,
I heard. I'm waiting for the audio book.
It was
to come
a page turner.
You know what? That's going to be when me and Ike make this road trip to Louisiana.
You listen to Angelo's audio
book. We're gonna get the audio book. Shout out to Angelo Cataldi because we're gonna read it. Well, we're gonna listen to it. On the way to Louisiana.
So we'll put it on the bus that you guys were driving down.
Riding no bus.
No, we're riding the bus
riding
all
no bus.
The way down to Louisiana. Dante in South Philly. What's up, Dante?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
Good morning, Dante. What are you thinking, buddy?
I'm thinking that Jalen Hurts is going to continue to play at a high level. I can't say it'll be at the level of Sunday, but what I can say for certain is it'll be at a high enough level to continue his tenure as the one of the most winningest coach and quarterback tandem currently active in the NFL and in history. So.
Well, active for sure. I mean, Sirianni's 39-19, and obviously most of that's come with Hurts. He missed, you know, the one game or a couple games here and there in different seasons. So they do win a lot. But Dante, that's a high bar. The way he played on Sunday, man, that's to expect that every week. It's a high bar. He was great on Sunday.
I expect him to make a minimal amount of mistakes. Same thing as Sunday. I expect him to be efficient enough. Same thing as Sunday. It doesn't have to be 250 yards. See, that's the thing we all get caught up on is the high stat lines. In that game where he won and he had 14 attempts, that's good. I mean, they were in no danger of ever losing the game. If that's what it requires, that's the high level for that particular game. The huge point is a week-to-week basis. Every strategy is different for this week-to-week, and the goal is the same. As long as we accomplish the goal, the results are the results.
Well, that's true.
They play poorly and they continue to win, you know, at a rate that you have no quarterback and coach tandem in your franchise history that has done that.
Well, probably. Well, Dante, I agree and I disagree. And good phone call. I mean, look, yes, if they're winning, Jalen's probably playing well. I mean, those two things correlate very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference, right? They won a lot of games down the stretch of 2021. Jalen was an okay quarterback at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, they won a ton of games, but Jalen was playing like an MVP. There's levels to it.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
But the bottom line is this, for me. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I know the quarterback's going to take the most heat. But if Jalen can have a couple clunkers, but as long as we win the game, I think that's the underlying sentiment.
How many clunkers are we talking?
When I say clunkers, I'm thinking maybe he's not as accurate throwing football, but we got a good, solid running game. I have a feeling, a strange feeling, that this running game could factor in huge. It feels like the NFL, with the scoring being down and teams not throwing the ball as much as they used to, that is coming back to the running back matters. Especially when you talk about the last couple of years where there's been a whole lot of talk about, you know, running backs being devalued and things of that nature. It's coming back to that.
Well, look, I mean, Henry and Saquon, right, are leading the league after signing contracts. It's 215-592-9494. Your phone call's on the other side here on Jalen Hurts. It's a little temperature check Wednesday on Jalen. Do you expect the version we saw Sunday to be the version we see the rest of the season? Hugh does. I'm not. I feel like that's a super high bar. I expect him to play well. I think he's turned a corner here, but to expect that, I'm not there. That's a very, very hard ball. That's MVP-level play. Plus, when we get back, the circus, it was on full display with the Sixers yesterday. The Shams report about the NBA's findings, and an annoyed Nick Nurse being questioned of me. Plus, just coming out here, we got another report, this time from The Athletic. Some more information on what Joel Embiid is actually dealing with.
I'm
telling you, it's not good. 215-592-9494. We'll hit that on the other side. Your phone calls as well. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, Philly, I want to remind you that it's time to speak up. Election Day is November 5th, and we want every block and every voice to be heard, from Overbrook to Parkwood, from Cream Village to West Oak Lane, from Chinatown to Germantown. It's election time. And we want your voice to be heard. Vote.phila.gov today and make your plan to vote. That's vote.phila.gov. Come on, Philly. We want every block and every voice to be heard.
All right, The Athletic. Step right up, Hugh. Meet the Sixers.
Hey.
All right, welcome back. We're going to get to back to the Eagles conversation and Jalen Hurts, because at least it's exciting that we might have a quarterback playing at a very high level again. You know what's not exciting?
What's that?
The Sixers.
Oh, it's interesting. I wouldn't say it wasn't exciting. It's interesting.
Excuse me?
It's a circus.
Wait a minute.
But I didn't pay for the circus. I paid for a basketball team.
No. Before I give you the reason why, I'm going to let Joe finish, you know, set it up before I give you the reasons why. I think it's very, very interesting.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, like, you can't look away, it's so bad type of thing.
Well, it's interesting because I'm like, wow.
Well,
how does all this transpire?
Well, this is the Sixers. All right, so the latest here yesterday, let's hear from Shams, as the Sixers were fined $100,000 for, I mean, he'll say it, but let's just be real about it, for lying to us about what's going on with Joel Embiid. Here's Shams.
I'm told that the NBA has fined the Sixers $100,000, essentially for misrepresenting the health status of Joel Embiid. The league specifically cited comments made by Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse over the last few weeks. And what they've said is that Joel Embiid's in great shape. He's lost 20 to 25 pounds, that there's no injury, no re-injury. And the league investigation found that there is no issue with the player participation policy with his games missed. But inconsistent comments by the team that have misrepresented his status on the Sixers and the fact that he has not played so far this season, he's going to be out on Wednesday as well.
You know what I love when professional people talk and use, like, regular words in professional ways, like misrepresent. You know what that's another word for?
Lying.
Lying. The Sixers lied to you. That's what they did when the season started.
I mean, but we knew that.
Yeah, we did. We snuffed that out right away because it was, you know why? Because healthy players don't sit unless there is a plan for, you know, whatever the number of games they're going to play. That doesn't happen in sports. It never does. And it certainly isn't happening now. Joel Embiid is not healthy. Let's hear yesterday as Nick Nurse is reaching his boiling point, as he checks the boxes here of time with the Sixers, reached the boiling point with Embiid nonsense. Here's Nurse yesterday answering questions. This is interesting stuff.
Nick, obviously we got to worry about Joel and Paul. In terms of their participation in practice today, were they able to do any live 5-on-5 or anything like that today?
You guys got the update. They were in parts of practice. On we go. Apologies, but go ahead.
It sounded like you guys went pretty hard for a good chunk of time today during practice. What was the focus, or were we trying to help?
Just trying to establish and maintain some type of identity and toughness of who we want to be and who we are and how we want to play, which finally showed up there 3 games in. Just staying on that track.
With Joel's plan,
I'm not going to answer. Go ahead. Anybody else got anything? They've given you the updates on that, right? They've given you the updates on Joel. Go ahead.
1 year and 3 games in, Nick Nurse
irritated.
Has reached his boiling point with
thoroughly
this.
Thoroughly irritated. I don't blame Coach Nurse for this, and I'll tell you why. Listening to him talk, I feel like he's in a situation where it's fluid for him, and he's getting it as it comes to him. And his job is to try to field the best possible basketball team that he can. And right now, it's unfortunate for him. He's not able to do that, you know. So he has to sit out there and answer questions about situations that he's probably just getting briefed on right before he goes out there to the press conference. That's what it sounds like to me. And he's trying his damnedest not to throw anybody under the bus. And sometimes, in order not to get caught in a lie, you just keep it simple. Hey, stop asking me. Stop asking me questions. Like, you know, or just say, I don't know what to tell you. You got the print out or whatever.
Yep.
Just keep it simple, man. And that's what it kind of feels like to me.
Well, here's the latest as we try to figure out what the heck's going on with Joel Embiid. We know he's not going to play tonight. We know Nick Nurse is annoyed. We know the Sixers lied. They were fined, right? So what's really going on? This is the latest from The Athletic just this morning. All right, I'm going to quote the article. Quote, one league source with knowledge of the NBA's investigation said that while it is true Embiid did not suffer a new injury to his surgically repaired left knee during the Olympics, the knee was unstable enough that there was concern about further damage being done if Embiid had played last week. He has an unstable knee, according to The Athletic. Hugh, you know what I go back to? Remember last year when he had the surgery?
Mm-hmm.
There were two options. There were two things they told us. They told us he could have the full meniscus repair. mm-hmm. and he would miss the playoffs last year, and he'd probably miss the Olympics, or he could do the partial meniscus repair. But if you do that, and I remember when that story came out, part of it was there is a chance of arthritis developing. The more you keep trimming that meniscus, there's no padding left, and you could develop early arthritis. That's what it feels like we're dealing with here. He has a chronic knee issue. And when I hear it, when I read that, quote, the knee was unstable enough that there was concern about further damage being done, that's alarming. I mean, that sounds like even when he comes back, we're not going to be sure he's okay.
He's not good. Do you know what? Do you know why I find this story fascinating and intriguing at the same time? It's because there were patterns that show that maybe Joel Embiid was hurt. Like, go back to the Olympics. As Kyle look at me, I'm tied up, Kyle. I got you. I'm not going to irritate you. I promise you.
Well, we'll see.
But during the Olympics, there was a stretch where he wasn't playing well and they had to bench him a little bit and all this other stuff. So then he comes back home. And as a former athlete, when you start, like, teams are always looking for reasons not to give you money. Like, that's just how it works. They're looking for reasons not to want to pay you. Somebody up top with this degenerative knee that I'm pretty sure you took a physical for before they decided to pay you. They saw that your knee was crunchy. No, seriously, because like anybody.
the word crunchy for a knee.
No, listen.
Ouch.
Because anybody that has degenerative knees, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when you move your knee and you feel it, it feels like it's crunching. Because I'm moving mine right now and it's crunchy inside. This man has a crunchy knee and they do these little knee exercises, stuff to show where your knee is without even doing an MRI or whatever. They did all of that to Joel Embiid. And somebody said, damn it, we're going to give you $190 million. Where can I get in line for that kind of incentive? I need that in my life.
Just go over to Camden. The Sixers are giving it out left and right.
Since y'all giving away money and Buddy ain't played all year long, can I get on that plan? What position could I play? Point guard?
No. With your speed at this stage, stop. Yeah,
at my advanced age, no, not at all.
You're going to sit that bench.
That's the thing that kind of blows my mind through all of this. You decided, and I'm assuming because you were afraid that he might go somewhere else, but hell, he might not even play. We talked about a few weeks ago, 45 games. Hell, we might not even get 20 at this point.
So when's the truth going to come out? Like, when are they going to tell us he has a chronic knee condition?
Is this a golden parachute for Joel Embiid?
Golden parachute? They think they're going to win the NBA title.
No, this feels like a golden parachute.
A thank you for what?
I don't know. For being here?
Thanks for all those second-round trips,
buddy. For putting
buddy.
Butts in the seats.
Man, that is it. That is
seriously,
it.
Seriously, this feels like it might be a golden parachute.
Oh, my gosh.
He's hurt. And I'm not trying to bash Joel Embiid because I feel like he won in this situation, and the reason why I felt like he won because he got $190 million in the offseason.
Screw that.
And didn't do a damn thing.
I'm actually more annoyed at the Sixers than him right
now. Yeah, because it's not his fault. They decided to pay him. I'm not mad at him.
If he has an arthritic knee, it's
and they
it's
gave him money. They gave him money. They re-upped him with the knee that he's on, and we ain't seen him yet.
It's a joke. I mean, the fact that it keeps coming out little by little, and they're just, like, they're pretending. Like, when is Daryl Morey going to get in front of a microphone and say, this is what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, they're just trotting Nurse out there to get annoyed at Dave Uram. This is how it works.
It's getting worse and worse.
Of course it is.
Remember when this stuff first started coming out, and we went through, like, what the three possible scenarios were for what this could end up being? This, of those three, I feel like is the worst one. There's something wrong with his knee that's never actually going to fully get better.
Mm-mm.
The meniscus surgery is piled up.
And they decided to give him $190 million.
Yeah, and his knee's now just a weaker version of any knee he's ever had. It's been scraped away, basically.
And it tells me that there's never going to be any consistency. Like, he'll come back.
Right.
He's going to play again. Maybe he'll play for 2 weeks and feel fine, but then
he's going to be dealing with this for the rest of his career.
Yes.
And it's not going to get better from here. The arrow is now pointing down officially. You can start the clock on Joel Embiid's career, the arrow pointing down.
And it's impossible to get excited for the team because we have, like, day to day.
You already know it's going to be a day to, like you said, day to day proposition.
We'll have no idea if he's in or out. Or, like,
I was going to feel
a certain
week. He ain't playing no back to backs.
Oh, my gosh. It's ridiculous. 215-592-9494 for your reaction to the latest on Embiid, the report from The Athletic that it's a chronic knee condition here, that, quote, the knee was unstable enough. There was concern about further damage being done if Embiid had played last week. So, like, what does that mean? Like, if they thought further damage last week, when is he coming back to play? Like, how long until this thing is strong enough that they don't worry about that?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Well, I'd say it's going to be about 2 weeks. If his knee is not strong enough, it's because what they try to do, because I've had, like, I haven't had the surgery, but you try to strengthen the muscles around the knee to take some of the pressure off of the knee. And that's, I guess that's what they're going to try to do. I don't know how long that's going to take for him, but that's what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like the Sixers tried to pull the wool over our eyes. And as always, the truth comes out. 215-592-9494. All right, that's how you hop, bro. You can react to the Embiid thing. Of course, this hour also sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly. So fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, let's grab Anthony, and then we got to let you hear what Chase Daniel said about Jalen Hurts here. Chase Daniel, of course, former Eagle quarterback. He was critical of Hurts and why he thinks he has turned the corner. Anthony in Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
What's going on, you guys? How you doing?
Hey, what's Anthony. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Hugh, I feel bad, man. I got to buy you some new balances now, man. I feel bad. You know?
Why?
I said something about your college kicks yesterday, man.
you talking about my running shoes? No, man. I like, you know, if Joe knows this, sometimes the ones that are worn, broken in, those are the better ones because it's hard to break in a new pair of running shoes.
Yeah,
man.
It is.
It just because it's rough on your feet, and I don't wear socks.
So even when you run?
Uh-uh. I don't wear them, so it's a little different.
Do you get blisters?
Uh-uh.
I would. I gotta wear socks.
Now he's laughing.
Sock talk?
Yeah, a little sock talk.
Well, Anthony, the picture Hugh posted yesterday, those running shoes you had on, they've seen better. Jason, today's look nicer. Yeah.
No, today's was nice, man. I told him, man, I'm proud of you, man. Today's was nice.
No, it's just, like, to be honest, I have a bunch of different running shoes, and I keep them to the bitter end. I probably do need to throw them away, but I had them for a while, so I just, you know, picked the first ones I saw.
Hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with that, man. It is what it is. Hey, yo, the hell with the Sixers, man. Forget them. They need to throw the whole season away. James Harden said Daryl Morey is a liar. Now, James Harden wasn't lying about that. And anyway, on to the Eagles, man. I believe that the team got a great vibe, a great aura around them right now. As Jalen. And they like this good energy that they receive, and I hope and I believe that they want to keep it up. So they'll be back to playing good football, man. They miss us loving and embracing them. They miss the love here, man. So them guys start playing better for us.
Well, Jalen's playing a lot better. I mean, the last few weeks, Anthony, good phone call. No turnovers since the bye. 0 turnovers the month of October. He was great on Sunday. It's just expecting that play, what we saw Sunday the rest of the season, that is a lot. So, how about Anthony getting on you for your running shoes?
Yeah, he's not the only one.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, bro, those running shoes are
better
days. They
look beat up, yeah.
But they're comfortable.
I know.
You know how it is. They're comfortable.
Today's looked a little bit more.
Yeah, they're not as worn.
Well, I think people were a little surprised because you're a shoe guy.
Yeah, it's like running shoes.
I know, they're different.
Yeah, it's different with running shoes.
Let's go to Rob Adelko. Then we'll hear from Chase Daniel here. Rob Adelko, what's up, buddy?
Joe, Hugh, Kyle, what's up, fellas?
What's going on,
Rob?
Man.
Good morning. Listen, I'm going to end with the Eagles, but I want to start with the Sixers because I got to unload. You know, listen, they're up there with me with the birds, Joe. Like, I grew up loving basketball. My dad was a basketball coach. I grew up loving basketball. And I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, Hugh, because I'm still going to watch them after I say what I'm going to say. Oh, I'm ready for them to set, Joe. I'm ready to start all over, Joe. I mean, why would we give it? You said it. So, Hugh, I'm going to take the words out of your mouth. You're like, you know, $190 something million
for a man with a degenerative knee.
For a man with a crackling pop knee.
Crunchy knee.
You know what I mean? Call what you want. I mean, Joe, what are we doing here? I mean, what are we going to do? Is just prolong this for another? What do we have now? 4 or 5 more years? Because that's a 3-year extension. What do you have, a year or two left, Joe, in his prior deal?
I think it was 2. I think he had 2 years left.
So we got him for 5 years. Yeah. Another 5 years. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I would rather, and people might say it's crazy, but why would we do that? I'd rather start from scratch now and see where I'm at in 5 years and to go on with this charade, to go on with this circus for another 5 years. I wish people would stand outside the Wells Fargo Center and just start holding signs up to Josh Harris, like, just to get him out of here. Sell the team. You know what I mean? Like, the guy's a moron. You know, he's – I can't say what I want, you know, want to say on the air, but you get the point. Like, I mean, I'm so frustrated. I'm embarrassed, Joe, to be a Sixers fan. I really am embarrassed to be a Sixers fan.
Well, on top of it, Rob, like, it's one thing to make a bad decision. It's one thing to sign a player who's injured, but they've lied to everyone for 3 weeks now, and now it's all coming out, and they look ridiculous.
And they gave him some more money.
Yeah, and on top of that, they gave him more money.
I mean, what are we doing here? And Joe, I'm sick of it, Joe. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of this whole charade. It's like a soap opera. You know what I mean? It's like when I rush home from high school and want to watch General Hospital. It's like a soap opera with these guys back in the day. You know what I mean? It's just an ongoing soap opera, and I'm embarrassed to be a Sixers fan. But you know what, Hugh? I'm still going to watch them because it's my team. You know, it sounds hypocritical, but I just don't know what else to do.
Are you excited to watch the Tobias Harris return to Philadelphia tonight?
Oh, man, that's who I want to go back. If I could reincarnate myself, I'd want to be Tobias Harris. Absolutely.
They need to give him a standing ovation.
Don't even joke. Don't you even joke.
And with the Birds guys, so I don't think the way Hurts is playing is an MVP level. I think he's playing at a good level. So I do expect him to play this well for the rest of the year. I don't think what he's doing is so extraordinary that he can't replicate it for most of the year. I think he's playing very well, but I don't think he's playing out of his mind very well. So that's why I feel he should play this well the way he's playing now for the rest of the year.
Well, then they're going to win a lot of games, Rob. Rob, we appreciate it. I mean, I don't think it was like the best quarterback play we've ever seen, but he was 80% completion and he had 4 total touchdowns. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's he does that again and again. His name will start to be in the MVP talk. I mean, that's the reality of it. All right, Chase Daniel, he was critical of Jalen Hurts last week. Let's listen to him, why he said, you know, Hurts is turning the corner. What does he notice in the former NFL quarterback?
I was trying to figure out why he actually turned the corner. For me, it's less is more. Look at the pass attempts, weeks 1 through 4, pre-bye week, 34, 30, 38, 30. He's throwing the ball. That's what you expect quarterbacks to do. Now let's transition once they had that conversation about the offense. You heard him talk to Nick Sirianni. We got right. Look at the throws post bye week. 25, 14, and 20. So I think that what they did as an offense is said, let's get to our identity. Our identity is running the football, number one, whether that's with Jalen Hurts or Saquon Barkley. Number two, and what I've seen Jalen do the last 3 games, he's getting through progressions at a higher clip, and he's throwing the ball deep down the field better than I've seen him do it all year long, really all season long. It's definitely because of A.J. Brown. It's definitely because of Devontae Smith. But he's playing at a much higher level when they're taking more off of his plate throwing the football. And that is a good thing because you shouldn't, if you're Jalen Hurts, you shouldn't want to throw the ball 38 times. Like, that's not winning football. That's not how these Philadelphia Eagles will win. If they continue this, then to me, they're a true contender in the NFC.
I think he's right. I mean, I think people hear that and they think, well, less because they don't trust him. I think the reality is they're a better team if he doesn't have to throw the ball 35 times.
Yeah, that's a winning formula. You can play football like that. That was the formula when they went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't throw it as much. His stat line was eerily similar, and I always say this. It was eerily similar to Marcus Mariota's stat line when he was in Atlanta. But the results were totally different.
Well, and look, if you throw 2 or 3 touchdowns in the first half, you could almost take the second half off, right? You could just hand the ball off, run the clock out. You don't have to throw for 4 quarters if you're winning. Some of those plays Jalen made on Sunday, he put the Bengals away. Him and the defense put the Bengals away early, and it changed the game. Let's go to Alex in South Jersey. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good, Alex. What's up, buddy?
Not too much. Just wanted to say shout-out Hugh. I was listening to the what him and Ike did with Cooper at Chickies and Pete's, and love that segment.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, no problem. It's one of the 2 reasons why I'm feeling good about the Eagles again. One, that secondary and linebacker core. Haven't felt like we've had players on those sides that have been that exciting in a while. So loving that. And then Jalen again. So, and that's the thing with Jalen is that I feel like he is just a really good football player, not just quarterback, but leader, football player. You know, what he can do with his legs is still underrated, I feel like. And I'm feeling good about him right now.
Yeah, but Alex, it's interesting with his legs, because there have been moments the last 2 years where it doesn't look quite the same as it did when he was younger. But then he has those games where it's almost like he's got that old fastball back, you know, in his legs. I thought he had it against Atlanta. And Sunday, Alex, when he made the decision to run, he had some burst on Sunday. He looked like the old Jalen run the football.
When he made that turn around the edge there,
yep,
and didn't even get touched getting in the end zone, I don't think there's many quarterbacks in the league that can do that. And then kind of, I feel like, shocked the lineman a little bit, too, with how fast he got around that corner. So if he can keep, you know, making less mistakes, you know, less interceptions, you know, he's a winner. And, you know, I think, you know, the camaraderie he's helping build around the team is just going to go a long way.
Yeah, and they're in a good place right now. Alex, we appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I said last year it looked like Jalen lost a step with his legs. And then he was probably hurt last year, right? He had the knee issue.
Yeah.
He looks a little bit spryer right now. Plus, he has the power. There's not many quarterbacks that can power run.
He's
like
in a good space. He's in a good space right now. And that's what I see. That's what I hear from him. And that's important. You know, what they say, you look good, you play good.
Mm.
And right now, he's feeling good. He's feeling real good about himself, you know. So just keep it going. I don't think it's that hard to do what I'm expecting him to do. I really don't.
I mean, get the ball 80% to the playmakers. Completion?
Yeah, get the ball to the playmakers. That's
it. High bar.
Simple. Simple is better, but it's
four the TDs. Offense,
but the offense looks simple.
I know.
It looks more fluid. So that's what I mean when I say just keep it simple.
I also think it's worth noting that the defenses they play the next few weeks aren't very good. I mean, Dallas's defense is not very good.
Tomato
this
cans.
Jacksonville's defense, not very good this season. Washington is more of an offensive team than a defensive team. Same thing with the Rams. The Ravens' defense, not great. They're more of an offensive team. Like, Jalen should be able to, this offense, not just Jalen, but Jalen should be able to put up numbers the next month. We'll see how much they win, and if they win three of them, four of them, five of them, but they should be able to put up some numbers the next month here. 215-592-9494. We'll get some phone calls up next segment, plus the Nick Sirianni press conference will carry it in full at around 12:10. Do you expect the Jalen Hurts we saw Sunday for the rest of the season? And if you're upset with the Sixers...
Hey, yo, the hell with the Sixers, man.
Join the club, get in, and you can react to the, a lot. Shams' report, the $100,000 fine. Nick Nurse obviously had it up to here with what he's got to trot out there every day. And the report from The Athletic that Joel Embiid does have a condition in his knee. They didn't think it was stable enough to play just last week. It's a lot, as usual, with the Sixers. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Whether you're tailgating at the stadium or hosting at home with friends and family, nothing beats Hatfield Pork for game day eats. From marinated pork tenderloins to bacon to ground pork and sausage, Hatfield has all the game day winners. Whip up a cheesy chorizo dip or bacon-wrapped tater tots and bring the flavor to your party. This weekend, make sure pork is on your fork. Visit simplyhatfield.com for the best game day recipes and to find a store near you. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
Step right up, Hugh. Meet the Sixers.
Hey.
All right, welcome back. We're going to get to back to the Eagles conversation and Jalen Hurts, because at least it's exciting that we might have a quarterback playing at a very high level again. You know what's not exciting?
What's that?
The Sixers.
Oh, it's interesting. I wouldn't say it wasn't exciting. It's interesting.
Excuse me?
It's a circus.
Wait a minute.
But I didn't pay for the circus. I paid for a basketball team.
No. Before I give you the reason why, I'm going to let Joe finish, set it up before I give you the reasons why. I think it's very, very interesting.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, like, you can't look away. It's so bad type of thing.
Well, it's interesting because I'm like, wow.
Well,
how does all this transpire?
Well, this is the Sixers. All right, so the latest here yesterday, let's hear from Shams as the Sixers were fined $100,000 for, I mean, he'll say it, but let's just be real about it, for lying to us about what's going on with Joel Embiid. Here's Shams.
I'm told that the NBA has fined the Sixers $100,000 essentially for misrepresenting the health status of Joel Embiid. The league specifically cited comments made by Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse over the last few weeks, and what they've said is that Joel Embiid's in great shape. He's lost 20 to 25 pounds, that there's no injury, no re-injury. And the league investigation found that there is no issue with the player participation policy with his games missed, but inconsistent comments by the team that have misrepresented his status on the Sixers and the fact that he has not played so far this season. He's going to be out on Wednesday as well.
You know what I love when professional people talk and use like regular words in professional ways, like misrepresent. You know what that's another word for?
Lying.
Lying. The Sixers lied to you. That's what they did when the season started.
But we knew that.
Yeah, we did. We snuffed that out right away because it was, you know why? Because healthy players don't sit unless there is a plan for, whatever the number of games they're going to play. That doesn't happen in sports. It never does. And it certainly isn't happening now. Joel Embiid is not healthy. Let's hear yesterday as Nick Nurse is reaching his boiling point as he checks the boxes here of time with the Sixers, reached the boiling point with Embiid nonsense. Here's Nurse yesterday answering questions. This is interesting stuff.
Nick, obviously we got to worry about Joel and Paul. In terms of their participation in practice today, were they able to do any live 5-on-5 or anything like that today?
You guys got the update. They were in parts of practice. On we go. Apologies, but go ahead.
It sounded like you guys went pretty hard for a good chunk of time today during practice. What was the focus, or were we trying to
help? Just trying to establish and maintain some type of identity and toughness of who we want to be and who we are and how we want to play, which finally showed up there 3 games in. Just staying on that track.
With Joel's plan,
I'm not going to answer. Go ahead. Anybody else got anything? They've given you the updates on that, right? They've given you the updates on Joel. Go ahead.
1 year and 3 games in, Nick Nurse
irritated.
Has reached his boiling point with
thoroughly
this.
Thoroughly irritated. I don't blame Coach Nurse for this, and I'll tell you why. Listening to him talk, I feel like he's in a situation where it's fluid for him, and he's getting it as it comes to him. And his job is to try to field the best possible basketball team that he can. And right now, it's unfortunate for him. He's not able to do that. So he has to sit out there and answer questions about situations that he's probably just getting briefed on right before he goes out there to the press conference. That's what it sounds like to me. And he's trying his damnedest not to throw anybody under the bus. And sometimes, in order not to get caught in a lie, you just keep it simple. Hey, stop asking me. Stop asking me questions. Like, or just say, I don't know what to tell you. You got the printout or whatever.
Yep.
Just keep it simple, man. And that's what it kind of feels like to me.
Well, here's the latest as we try to figure out what the heck's going on with Joel Embiid. We know he's not going to play tonight. We know Nick Nurse is annoyed. We know the Sixers lied. They were fined, right? So what's really going on? This is the latest from The Athletic just this morning, all right? I'm going to quote the article. Quote, one league source with knowledge of the NBA's investigation said that while it is true Embiid did not suffer a new injury to his surgically repaired left knee during the Olympics, the knee was unstable enough that there was concern about further damage being done if Embiid had played last week. He has an unstable knee, according to The Athletic. Hugh, you know what I go back to? Remember last year when he had the surgery?
Mm-hmm.
There were two options. There were two things they told us. They told us he could have the full meniscus repair. mm-hmm. and he would miss the playoffs last year, and he'd probably miss the Olympics, or he could do the partial meniscus repair. But if you do that, and I remember when that story came out, part of it was there is a chance of arthritis developing. The more you keep trimming that meniscus, there's no padding left, and you could develop early arthritis. That's what it feels like we're dealing with here. He has a chronic knee issue. And when I hear it, when I read that, quote, the knee was unstable enough that there was concern about further damage being done, that's alarming. I mean, that sounds like even when he comes back, we're not going to be sure he's okay.
He's not good. Do you know what? Do you know why I find this story fascinating and intriguing at the same time? It's because there were patterns that show that maybe Joel Embiid was hurt. Like, go back to the Olympics. As Kyle, look at me. I'm tied up, Kyle. I got you. I'm not going to irritate you. I promise you.
Well, we'll see.
But during the Olympics, there was a stretch where he wasn't playing well, and they had to bench him a little bit and all this other stuff. So then he comes back home. And as a former athlete, when you start, like, teams are always looking for reasons not to give you money. Like, that's just how it works. They're looking for reasons not to want to pay you. Somebody up top with this degenerative knee that I'm pretty sure you took a physical for before they decided to pay you. They saw that your knee was crunchy. No, seriously, because like anybody.
the word crunchy for a knee.
No, listen.
Ouch.
Because anybody that has degenerative knees, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when you move your knee and you feel it, it feels like it's crunching. Because I'm moving mine right now and it's crunchy inside. This man has a crunchy knee and they do these little knee exercises, stuff to show where your knee is without even doing an MRI or whatever. They did all of that to Joel Embiid. And somebody said, damn it, we're going to give you $190 million. Where can I get in line for that kind of incentive? I need that in my life.
Just go over to Camden.
Since y'all giving away money and Buddy ain't played all year long, can I get on that plan? What position could I play? Point guard?
No. With your speed at this stage, stop. Yeah,
at my advanced age, no, not at all.
You're going to sit that bench.
That's the thing that kind of blows my mind through all of this. You decided, and I'm assuming because you were afraid that he might go somewhere else, but hell, he might not even play. We talked about a few weeks ago, 45 games. Hell, we might not even get 20 at this point.
So when's the truth going to come out? Like, when are they going to tell us he has a chronic knee condition?
Is this a golden parachute for Joel Embiid?
Golden parachute? They think they're going to win the NBA title.
No, this feels like a golden parachute.
A thank you for what?
I don't know. For being here?
Thanks for all those second-round trips,
buddy. For putting
buddy.
Butts in seats.
Man, that is it. That is
seriously,
it.
Seriously, this feels like it might be a golden parachute.
Oh, my gosh.
He's hurt. And I'm not trying to bash Joel Embiid because I feel like he won in this situation, and the reason why I felt like he won because he got $190 million in the offseason.
Screw that.
And didn't do a damn thing.
But I'm actually more annoyed at the Sixers than him right now.
Yeah, because it's not his fault. They decided to pay. I'm not mad at him.
If he has an arthritic knee, it's unfortunate.
And they gave him money. They gave him money. They re-upped him with the knee that he's on, and we ain't seen him yet.
It's a joke. I mean, the fact that it keeps coming out little by little, and they're just, like, they're pretending. Like, when is Daryl Morey going to get in front of a microphone and say, this is what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, they're just trotting Nurse out there to get annoyed at Dave Uram. Like, this is how it works.
It's getting worse and worse.
Of course it is.
Remember when this stuff first started coming out, and we went through, like, what the three possible scenarios were for what this could end up being? This, of those three, I feel like is the worst one. There's something wrong with his knee that's never actually going to fully get better.
Mm-mm.
The meniscus surgery is piled up.
And they decided to give him $190 million.
Yeah, and his knee's now just a weaker version of the knee that of any knee he's ever had. It's been scraped away, basically.
And it tells me that there's never going to be any consistency. Like, he'll come back.
Right.
He's going to play again. Maybe he'll play for 2 weeks and feel fine, but then
he's going to be dealing with this for the rest of his career.
Yes.
And it's not going to get better from here. The arrow is now pointing down officially. You can start the clock on Joel Embiid's career, the arrow pointing down.
And it's impossible to get excited for the team because we have, like, day to day.
You already know it's going to be a day to, like you said, day to day proposition.
We'll have no idea if he's in or out. Or like,
he already
I was
told you he ain't playing no back to backs.
Oh my gosh. It's ridiculous. 215-592-9494 for your reaction to the latest on Embiid, the report from The Athletic that it's a chronic knee condition here. That, quote, the knee was unstable enough. There was concern about further damage being done if Embiid had played last week. So, like, what does that mean? Like, if they thought further damage last week, when is he coming back to play? Like, how long until this thing is strong enough that they don't worry
about
that?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Well, I'd say it's going to be about 2 weeks. If his knee is not strong enough, it's because what they try to do, because I've had, like, I haven't had the surgery, but you try to strengthen the muscles around the knee to take some of the pressure off of the knee. And that's, I guess that's what they're going to try to do. I don't know how long that's going to take for him, but that's what it kind of sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like the Sixers tried to pull the wool over our eyes. And as always, the truth comes out. 215-592-9494. All right, that's how you hop, where you can react to the Embiid thing. Of course, this hour also sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly. So fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, let's grab Anthony, and then we got to let you hear what Chase Daniel said about Jalen Hurts here. Chase Daniel, of course, former Eagle quarterback. He was critical of Hurts and why he thinks he has turned the corner. Anthony in Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
What's going on, you guys? How you doing?
Hey, what's Anthony.
On,
what's up, buddy?
Hey, Hugh, I feel bad, man. I got to buy you some new balances now, man. I feel bad, you know?
Why?
I said something about your college kicks yesterday, man.
you talking about my running shoes? No, man, I like, you know, if Joe knows this, sometimes the ones that are worn, broken in, those are the better ones because it's hard to break in a new pair of running shoes.
Yeah,
man.
It is.
It just because it's rough on your feet, and I don't wear socks. So
even when you run?
Uh-uh. I don't wear them, so it's a little different.
Then you get blisters?
Uh-uh.
I would. I got to wear socks.
Now he's laughing.
Little sock talk?
Yeah, little sock talk.
Well, Anthony, the picture Hugh posted yesterday, those running shoes you had on, they've seen better. Jason, today's look nicer. Yeah.
No, today's was nice, man. I told him, man, I'm proud of you, man. Today's was nice.
No, it's just, like, to be honest, I have a bunch of different running shoes, and I keep them to the bitter end. I probably do need to throw them away, but I had them for a while, so I just, you know, picked the first ones I saw.
Hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with that, man. It is what it is. Hey, yo, the hell with the Sixers, man. Forget them. They need to throw the whole season away. James Harden said Daryl Morey is a liar. Now, James Harden wasn't lying about that. And anyway, on to the Eagles, man. I believe that the team got a great vibe, a great aura around them right now. As Jalen. And they like this good energy that they receive, and I hope and I believe that they want to keep it up. So they'll be back to playing good football, man. They miss us loving and embracing them. They miss the love here, man. So them guys start playing better for us.
Well, Jalen's playing a lot better. I mean, the last few weeks, Anthony, good phone call. No turnovers since the bye. 0 turnovers the month of October. He was great on Sunday. It's just expecting that play, what we saw Sunday the rest of the season, that is a lot. So, how about Anthony getting on you for your running shoes?
Yeah, he's not the only one.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, bro, those
they
running
looked
shoes
old.
Are
looked
better
beat
days.
Up, yeah.
It's, but they're comfortable.
I know.
You know how it is. They're
I get
comfortable.
It. Today's looked a little bit more.
Yeah, they're not as warm.
Well, I think people were a little surprised because you're a shoe guy.
Yeah, but it's like running shoes.
I know, they're different.
Yeah, it's different with running shoes.
Let's go to Rob Adelko. Then we'll hear from Chase Daniel here. Rob Adelko, what's up, buddy?
Joe, Hugh, Kyle, what's up, fellas?
What's going
hey,
on,
Rob?
Man.
Good morning. Listen, I'm going to end with the Eagles, but I want to start with the Sixers because I got to unload. You know, listen, they're up there with me with the birds, Joe. Like, I grew up loving basketball. My dad was a basketball coach. I grew up loving basketball. And I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, Hugh, because I'm still going to watch them after I say what I'm going to say. Oh, I'm ready for them to set, Joe. I'm ready to start all over, Joe. I mean, why would we give it? You said it. So, Hugh, I'm going to take the words out of your mouth. You're like, you know, $190 something million
for a man with
years,
a degenerative
right?
knee.
For a man with a crackling pop knee.
Crunchy knee.
You know what I mean? Call what you I mean, Joe, what are we doing here? I mean, what are we going to do? Is just prolong this for another – what do we have now? 4 or 5 more years? Because that's a 3-year extension. What, do you have a year or two left, Joe, on his prior deal? Something
I think
like
it was
that?
2. I think he had 2 years left. So
all right, so we got him for 5 years,
yeah.
Another 5 years. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I would rather – and people might say it's crazy, but why would we do that? I'd rather start from scratch now and see where I'm at in 5 years. And to go on with this charade, to go on with this circus for another 5 years.
I wish people would stand outside the Wells Fargo Center and just start holding signs up to Josh Harris, like, just to get him out of here. Sell the team. You know what I mean? Like, the guy's a moron. You know, he's I can't say what I want to say on the air, but you get the point. Like, I mean, I'm so frustrated. I'm embarrassed, Joe, to be a Sixers fan. I really am embarrassed to be a Sixers fan.
Well, then on top of it, Rob, like, it's one thing to make a bad decision. It's one thing to sign a player who's injured, but they've lied to everyone for 3 weeks now, and now it's all coming out, and they look ridiculous.
And they gave him some more money.
Yeah, now on top of that, they gave him more money.
I mean, what are we doing here? And Joe, I'm sick of it, Joe. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of this whole charade. It's like a soap opera. You know what I mean? It's like when I rush home from high school and want to watch General Hospital. It's like a soap opera with these guys back in the day. You know what I mean? It's just an ongoing soap opera, and I'm embarrassed to be a Sixers fan. But you know what, Hugh? I'm still going to watch them because it's my team. You know, it sounds hypocritical, but I just don't know what else to do.
Are you excited to watch the Tobias Harris return to Philadelphia tonight?
Oh, man, that's who I want to go back. If I could reincarnate myself, I'd want to be Tobias Harris. Absolutely.
They need to give him a standing ovation.
Don't even joke. Don't you even joke.
And with the Birds guys, Joe, I don't think the way Hurts is playing is an MVP level. I think he's playing at a good level. So I do expect him to play this well for the rest of the year. I don't think what he's doing is so extraordinary that he can't replicate it for most of the year. I think he's playing very well, but I don't think he's playing out of his mind very well. So that's why I feel he should play this well, the way he's playing now, for the rest of the year.
Well, then they're going to win a lot of games, Rob. Rob, we appreciate it. I mean, I don't think it was, like, the best quarterback play we've ever seen, but he was 80% completion, and he had 4 total touchdowns. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's he does that again and again. His name will start to be in the MVP talk. I mean, that's just that's the reality of it. All right, Chase Daniel, he was critical of Jalen Hurts last week. Let's listen to him, why he said, you know, Hurts has turned the corner. What is he noticing?
That's not winning football. That's not how these Philadelphia Eagles win. If they continue this, then to me they're a true contender in the NFC.
I think he's right. I mean, I think people hear that and they think, well, less because they don't trust him. I think the reality is they're a better team if he doesn't have to throw the ball 35 times.
Yeah, that's a winning formula. You can win, you can play football like that. That was the formula when they went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't throw it as much. His stat line was eerily similar, and I always say this. It was eerily similar to Marcus Mariota's stat line when he was in Atlanta. But the results were totally different.
Well, and look, if you throw 2 or 3 touchdowns in the first half, you could almost take the second half off, right? You could just hand the ball off, run the clock out. It's you don't have to throw for 4 quarters if you're winning. Some of those plays Jalen made on Sunday, he put the Bengals away. Him and the defense put the Bengals away early, and it changed the game. Let's go to Alex in South Jersey. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good, Alex. What's up, buddy?
Not too much. Just wanted to say shout-out Hugh. I was listening to the what him and Ike did with Cooper at Chickies and Pete's, and love that segment.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, no problem. It's one of the two reasons why I'm feeling good about the Eagles again. One, that secondary and linebacker core, haven't felt like we've had, players on those sides that have been that exciting in a while. So, loving that. And then Jalen again. So, and that's the thing with Jalen is that I feel like he is just a really good football player, not just quarterback, but leader, football player. You know, what he can do with his legs is still underrated, I feel like. And I'm feeling good about him right now.
Yeah, well, Alex, it's interesting with his legs because there have been moments the last 2 years where it doesn't look quite the same as it did when he was younger. But then he has those games where it's almost like he's got that old fastball back, you know, in his legs. I thought he had it against Atlanta. And Sunday, Alex, when he made the decision to run, he had some burst on Sunday. He looked like the old Jalen run the football.
When he made that turn around the edge there and didn't even get touched getting in the end zone, I don't think there's many quarterbacks in the league that can do that. And then kind of, I feel like, shocked the lineman a little bit, too, with how fast he got around that corner. So if he can keep, you know, making less mistakes, you know, less interceptions, you know, he's a winner. And, you know, I think, you know, the camaraderie he's helping build around the team is just going to go a long way.
Yeah, and they're in a good place right now. Alex, we appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I said last year it looked like Jalen lost a step with his legs. And then he probably hurt last year, right? He had the knee issue.
Yeah.
He looks a little bit spryer right now. Plus, he has the power. There's not many quarterbacks that can power run.
He's
like
in a good space. He's in a good space right now. And that's what I see. That's what I hear from him. And that's important. you know, you, what they say, you look good, you play good.
Mm.
And right now he's feeling good. He's feeling real good about himself, you know, so just keep it going. I don't think it's that hard to do what I'm expecting him to do. I really don't.
I mean, get the ball 80% to the playmakers. Completion?
Yeah, get the ball to the playmakers. That's
a high bar.
Simple. Simple is better, but it's
four the offense, TDs.
But the offense looks simple.
I know.
It looks more fluid. So that's what I mean when I say just keep it simple.
I also think it's worth noting that the defenses they play the next few weeks aren't very good. I mean, Dallas's defense is not very good
tomato
this season.
Tomato cans.
Jacksonville's defense, not very good this season. Washington is more of an offensive team than a defensive team. Same thing with the Rams. The Ravens' defense, not great. They're more of an offensive team. Like, Jalen should be able to, this offense, not just Jalen, but Jalen should be able to put up numbers the next month. We'll see how much they win, and if they win three of them, four of them, five of them, but they should be able to put up some numbers the next month here. 215-592-9494. We'll get some phone calls up next segment, plus the Nick Sirianni press conference. We'll carry it in full at around 12:10. Do you expect the Jalen Hurts we saw Sunday for the rest of the season? And if you're upset with the Sixers...
Hey, yo, the hell with the Sixers, man.
Join the club, get in, and you can react to the, well, a lot. Shams' report, the $100,000 fine. Nick Nurse obviously had it up to here with what he's got to trot out there every day. And the report from The Athletic that Joel Embiid does have a condition in his knee. They didn't think it was stable enough to play just last week. It's a lot, as usual, with the Sixers. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Whether you're tailgating at the stadium or hosting at home with friends and family, nothing beats Hatfield Pork for game day eats. From marinated pork tenderloins to bacon to ground pork and sausage, Hatfield has all the game day winners. Whip up a cheesy chorizo dip or bacon-wrapped tater tots and bring the flavor to your party. This weekend, make sure pork is on your fork. Visit simplyhatfield.com for the best game day recipes and to find a store near you. Find your flavor with Hatfield.